Live from Houston, Texas, this is Big Ideas Small Business with your host, Brian Gendron. And now, the music of Max Flynn.
I'm starting to feel a little crazy again. I think it's time I start to pack my things.
All right, welcome to Big Ideas Small Business. I'm your host, Brian Gendron, and today I'm here with Elle Pearson. Elle, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful, Brian. Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming. So on Big Ideas Small Business, what we look to do is sit down with thought leaders, business leaders, entrepreneurs, and understand about a time you had a big idea and how you acted on that. And our hope is that we can inspire and help entrepreneurs, intrapreneurs, side hustlers through their journey.
Absolutely. I think I can help with that.
Your game?
Absolutely, Ryan.
Well, great. Well, let's start with this. Elle, tell me a little bit about your background.
Well, Brian, I started off as a nurse for, my goodness, 14 years now. I worked in the pediatric specialty. So I worked from the bedside and clinical roles, and then moved into the administrative role. And there, it really opened my eyes to many new concepts, many new ideas, and then it also exposed me to the fact that healthcare is a business. So at the end of the day, you know, as a clinical nurse, or even if you're a physician, maybe you're a pharmacist, you get into the routine of doing things day to day. You go to work. You put in a lot of work to care for these patients that really need you. You go home. But when you tap into administration, you see things from a different perspective. A lot is tied into the budget, how much money we can make, what are we doing wrong, the quality initiatives we need to meet and make, how can we improve patient care. But again, everything is tied back to revenue. And so, you know, as an administrator, you're able to work on many different committees, many different projects, and I had that opportunity. And one thing that I noticed was happening, and I'm sure many of your audience can relate to this, if you're you're working on a job, you're in a career, you may bring a lot of ideas to the table. And a lot of times those ideas can be implemented by your place of work, and many times you may get little to no recognition. And so that was my experience. I had received all these credentials and certifications and advanced degrees, and that my place of work at that time, they absolutely took a lot of my great ideas, and I didn't get a lot of credit for that. And so that made me feel some kind of way, Brian, you know. But the great thing about it is I've been exposed to so many entrepreneurs along the way. I also saw opportunity in those ideas that I was offering my place of work. And definitely at the end of the day, as a clinician, you want to see patients do better, to heal. However, I also knew if I was helping this very large healthcare system meet their marks, create a great place for patients to come, exceed their patient satisfaction scores, then there were other organizations out there that could probably utilize those same ideas, those same concepts that I brought to the table and got very little credit for. And so one thing that I've always done, Brian, is I've been a believer in strategic relationships. So even when I worked at the bedside, even in my administrative role, I built relationships with leaders. And not knowing at the time those leaders would really impact where I am today, but just sending a Merry Christmas, how are you doing? Happy Thanksgiving. Would you like me to take you out to lunch? Just to learn a little bit more about what you do. Building those relationships turned into friendships, which later turned into business. And so when I stepped away from my administrative role, it turned into an opportunity to where, hey, let's have a conversation about how I can help you now and your organization by all these great ideas that I implemented at this institution. Let's work on implementing and some strategic conversations about how we can do the same thing for your organization. So that's a little bit of my backstory. It started with me working in the hospital setting as a healthcare professional, identifying problems, helping them introduce solutions that they used, and just knowing that someone else out here would find value and pay me my true worth for this.
There's so much in there. First of all, value. It's identifying where you can bring value. It's not how much money you can make. It's how much value you can bring, in my mind. You also hit on something I always preach to folks that are frustrated in their corporate work. It's the Malcolm Gladwell's Outliers. If you've done it for 10,000 hours, 5 to 7 years, depending on how much you're working, you are can be considered an expert.
Yes.
And so take all those experiences. What I like about your journey and what you told me was that you also had, and I don't know if this is intentional or not, but you developed relationships over time, which is another piece to it. Not just get good at your job, but the relationship
yes.
aspect of it is critical.
Yeah.
So this all sounds like it's snowballing into, was there a moment, did you quit and pack up your box and get out, or how did it change?
You have to be very smart about leaving your 9-to-5 because, you know, a lot of entrepreneurship when you're just getting started is you need to be able to fund your business. And so, you know, I made a very smart decision to keep my job until I no longer had the time to, to do both. And so I waited until, well, for myself personally, I had an income goal. I had an income goal where I wanted to make sure that how much I made in my business could exceed how much I made as an administrator, because I wanted to sustain my lifestyle and be able to support my family at the same time too. So I definitely would advise anyone to just kind of plan it out, you know, set goals for yourself. And if you have the idea in your mind that you do want to start a business, then you need to start relationship building right where you are. And I did that not knowing initially. I was just being myself, building relationships. But once I decided I want to go into business, it became, okay, well, I identified that many executive leaders didn't stay at a hospital for a very long time. So they may be vested for maybe 5 years, maybe a little bit longer. But typically what happened was they moved on to another hospital. And something else you have to think about too is you never want there to be a conflict of interest. And so, you know, if you're interested in starting a business and you're working, yes, you can build those relationships, but I never talked about, I'm also thinking about going into consulting. And this is what I'm going to be doing. It always was about, let's build this relationship. So, yeah, I definitely had it mapped out and planned to where I could support my family, I could support my business before I broke away totally. So I had vested clients that I served. And the great thing about the role that I was in, even though it was an administrative role, I only worked 3 nights a week. So those other days were dedicated to, you know, servicing my clients, showing up and adding value, building relationships. You know, I'm really big on LinkedIn, establishing new connections, sending information, letting others know that I was the expert. And something else that I realized also, and we talked a little bit about this, you could be in a job for years and years and never acknowledge the fact that you are the expert. And one day I realized, I know a lot of information about reputation management. I know a lot of information about patient satisfaction in the digital space. And so, yes, I am the expert.
So you're talking about a different type of exit strategy. Entrepreneurship, we talk about how are we going to get out of the business that we've started in entrepreneur. But you're talking about how do you strategically exit your career.
Yes.
Gracefully and strategically to where it's going to set you up for success. That's really important. I also like the idea that for me, it was always about nights and weekends. But you had 4 days. Now, granted, I'm sure you had at least a day of recovery, I would imagine, depending on your motor. But you are working longer days, 12-hour shifts or something of that nature, I would imagine.
Yeah. So when I was in my administrative role also, it was a 12-hour shift, 3 nights a week. And so a lot of that time I had to myself. And that was something that a lot of healthcare professionals do have. You do have time on your side. So opposed to if I was working 9-to-5, I only had Saturday and Sunday. It may have taken a little bit more time for me to break away because I didn't have that much time to dedicate to building a business. However, with 5 days off, there was nothing else for me to do but to build this out, make those connections, and build my business. So I was very passionate and driven, still am today, and I'm glad I made that decision, but smartly.
Sure, and so healthcare is a good, there's a lot of folks that have that same schedule, and there's so much opportunity in healthcare, given especially the aging baby boomer, There's a new our generation, a generation behind us, the Gen Zs. There's some interesting, we'll call it epidemic, and things that are coming out there. So there's just so much room, neuroscience, and there's all these different areas of healthcare, which is which is incredible.
Yes.
And so find what you're passionate about in that space and plan your exit strategy.
Yes.
So it's, that kind of lends itself to the big idea. So let's talk about your big idea.
Absolutely. So I want to start by saying there are problems in healthcare all around us, and we're exposed to them every single day. And I was exposed to a problem in which I was served on a committee, and I was on a patient experience committee, which is something where we care about how patients, we care about their journey through the hospital. How are they feeling when they're there? Are they being cared for appropriately? Are they getting the right communication? But something that's recently changed is patients are online. They not only communicate with us internally in the hospital setting, but there's a whole lot of patients who are looking for providers who are, who've been discharged and they still have questions. And so a part of that committee was thinking of, okay, well, what else can we do externally to extend that patient experience, to make sure they have a great patient journey, not only when they're in the hospital, but outside of the hospital? And again, I told you a lot of the ideas and suggestions were just, they were taken, but no credit was given. And so my big idea was consumerism has really transformed healthcare. And so you have patients who are online, they're looking for doctors, they're reading reviews. You have a lot of employees who are on social media, they're using it inappropriately, and they're risking the reputation of that organization. And so my big idea was there needs to be something in place where healthcare providers, and this can go for any business, so any business out there, you need to care about your online reputation, your online presence, and protect your reputation from any threats, or protect your business from any online threats. And so what I decided to do was those relationships that I built along my journey, Brian, I knew many doctors who owned their own healthcare practices. And so validation is so important when you're starting a business. We invest so much time, so much money, so much effort. And so my form of validation was reaching out to my network that I built along my journey as a clinician, and reached out to plastic surgeon who I built a great relationship with. And I asked him, hey, you know, this is something I've identified that a lot of patients are online. I said, you have no one responding to your reviews. If someone writes a negative review, there is a right way and a wrong way. You don't want to have a HIPAA violation. Is this something you'd be interested in? And, you know, he said, absolutely. So I said, okay, let's do a case study. If I can get results from you or for you, would you mind sharing your experience working with me? And because I built that relationship, that turned into, you know, a case study, which turned into many referrals, Brian. And so that was my big idea. So that's something that I've been able to still utilize my experience as a clinician and knowing what and how to talk to patients appropriately in person and online. It's a huge customer service aspect to it. But also the big idea or the big concept that I introduce also ties into how can you improve your business? How can you improve your reputation? It all helps with the bottom line.
Reputation management is so big. And you talked about negative reviews. Positive reviews, too, require.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about that case study. I'd like to hear, you said there's results. So what type of results were achieved?
So we were able to intercede his negative reviews, which is a big deal. Because as you may know, a patient may or may not get online to write something positive about your practice. Most of the time they want to write something negative, unfortunately. That's just the society that we live in. But through a software solution that we utilize, before a patient can jump on Google, they'll automatically get a text message and it asks, okay, how was your experience? Did we exceed your expectations? And if they would have anything negative to say or give them a thumbs down, we can automatically jump in and provide service recovery, which is a big deal, because if a patient is unhappy, then you want to be able to recover that patient. It's about retention and loyalty. And so through that alone, through interceding reviews or negative reviews, that's something we're able to do for him. Also, something really big we're able to do is a lot of doctors don't have the time, and this is healthcare organizations in general. They don't have the time to keep up with health grades and RateMDs. There's so many review sites out there. And so we not only teach them, okay, this is how you claim your reviews, optimize those review sites, etc., but we said, we can do this for you. You're so busy, just outsource it to us, you know, to our team. And that goes well because, number one, they trust us as healthcare professionals also, and those case studies make a big difference. So now my goal has been to reach out to different specialty, whether it be a doctor, whether it be an organization, reach out to get at least one case study in that specialty to show those proven results. Because again, consumerism has changed everything.
That's a good way to put it, that consumerism and the way that the healthcare insurance providers are changing their models, Obamacare, and how that's changed has made it a little bit, it seems to me, this is kind of an outside perspective looking at it as a business owner who's shopping plans and looking at these things, that you've got more ability than ever to go shop who your providers are. Mm-hmm. And just like we do on Amazon, the first place we go is look at reviews.
Yes. Right?
And so we crowdsource our information about our doctors.
Yes.
And reputation in that industry is so critical because this is, if you have a misdiagnosis, that is so costly to your business. And let's isolate that and let's keep that there because that's already costly, whether not just in terms of dollars, but also in terms of time.
Yes.
And increase in malpractice and all that stuff. But is it going to cost you additional patients? And sometimes like some of your services may be able to isolate some.
Yes, absolutely. Well, that's the great thing about it. You want to make sure you take those conversations offline when you can. And even, you know, what we've discovered too is even when someone does write something negative, when you respond and you respond in the appropriate way, there's other eyes on that review. So even if you can't take it down immediately, because there's a way to do that too, it's costly, but you know, what we find is when patients, and I can say this for myself as well, I think we all will be and maybe have been patients in the past, but when I see that a healthcare provider and organization is concerned, they care, again, that's all tied into the patient experience. Remember, that's what I worked on when I was at the bedside. When it's all tied into the caring, they see how you respond, you may be able to not only retain that patient who had a bad experience, but those other eyes who are shopping for services, they also see that you do have empathy, and you care, and you acknowledge that this person had a not so great experience, but you took the time to acknowledge that.
So so tell me about your journey. How long ago was this that you started this company?
Yes. So I've been independent on my own for 3 years.
3 years.
Yes. So altogether, total 5 years, I've been running this business, working very small as a solo consultant, but now really building a virtual team to help me, being very smart about what I delegate tasks to in my business, what I handle, what I don't handle. And so I'm a fan of automation. I'm a fan of a virtual team, and I'm also now a fan of subcontractors. And so because there is an outpouring of need, I want to be able to not only service, you know, those here in Houston, Texas, but be able to service those, you know, in different states and cities and be able to do an outstanding job. And yeah, so we're all over the place now, Brian.
Well, I'm going to ask you some opinions then, some things that I struggle with. There's two, so let me make sure I hit on both.
Okay.
Delegation and subcontractor. Let me start with subcontractors.
Yes.
So are you working with independents or organizations?
So I am working with independent subcontractors. So along my journey, you know, I'm building relationships. And so I've met nurse consultants as well as business consultants along my journey who are seeking work, but they don't quite want to start their own business yet. They're just looking for side projects to do. So I'm able to bring them in as a subcontracted consultant, kind of teach them everything from the software component to training to workshops to going into organizations doing audits. And again, I'm one person. I can't do everything. But once I've identified and had a conversation with someone who's interested, they believe in the mission, they believe in the vision, they understand the importance of reputation management, they understand the value behind it, then we can move forward with, okay, if I have an opportunity in, you know, let's say Maryland, then maybe you would be great because you live in that territory. And so it's just about building your relationships and identifying people who can help you along your journey. So if I can't show up in Maryland, then you can for me on my behalf. So that's worked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the reason I asked that is I've struggled or had issues with independence in the past. There's no accountability ladder. So if the independent has spread himself or herself too thin with too many projects, then you become one of many that they're working on, and they can't focus or they can't dedicate enough time to your project. So I've run into that issue, and I've changed my strategy into working with organizations specifically designed to work with, in my case, IT consultants.
Yes.
I found that to be a little better just because if somebody's not doing their job, then I talk to their manager, manager's manager, owner, you know, and use that chain of command to, and it's just, it's reduced a lot of headaches. That's why I asked that question.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've yet to find an organization, or maybe I should look a little bit more into the rep management space, but fortunately I've been successful at not having to hit any bumps in the road yet.
And it doesn't sound like by accident, because one of the things you said, which is critical, is that they have bought in to the mission and the vision. Yeah. So that is to suggest that you have a very strong mission vision. And it goes into my second thing that I want to talk about, which is actually becoming easier for me lately, delegation. And it's becoming easier for me because I'm realizing with the strong vision and with the strong mission, you've got leadership. And with when you have good leadership, you've got less management to do.
Absolutely.
And less management is less is not less delegation, but a lot of times they self-delegate, if you will. And so I'd be interested to hear your perspective on that, because this is something that's been changing in my world. I'm batting my head against the wall. I'm not, by nature, a strong manager. And I used to think that that was something I really needed to work on. And I do need to work on those things, no question. But I've found that natural leadership and those things make all that easier and actually make that less critical of something for me to work on. What do you think?
You know, I think, Brian, you have to be, you have to become very clear on your, the objective of your business. You really do. The objective of my business is to show up and serve and to fill a gap and to solve a problem. And I can't do it all by myself. And so what I would advise any owner of a business, any leader, is you really have to become really clear. And I would say write out everything that you do in your business. And that's what I've done. I write out every single thing I do in my business. I've even tracked it. So there was one day where I dedicated time. Actually, I did this for an entire week. I wrote down every single thing that I did in my business, from checking emails to looking up, following up with clients, to servicing the clients I do have. And so I went through that list, and I had to cross out things that did not require me to do it. And so once I did that, that allowed me to put everything in a category. So I'm going to break this down a little bit further for you. So I have three main, in my consulting firm, three main like executive assistants. So one handles operations, one is a data scraper, and the other one manages all of my social media content. All of those things do not require the brain power of L. And so my operations assistant will go in, she'll respond to emails, she'll check my emails daily. She will respond to those clients who she has a template on what questions to refer to me and what questions that she can handle on her own. Just those daily operations that, again, don't need me. My data scraper, she does a great job of scraping the internet. If there's any clients who I can serve, who there's problems that we can find about their organization, she creates spreadsheets, and she does the same thing with associations. So if there's leaders that I need to strategically connect with, all that information is placed in a spreadsheet. Do you know how long it would take me to jot down the names of every board member in this particular association that I would want to connect with on LinkedIn? It would take too long. And so that's something I delegated. As far as the social media content, you know, again, I'm big on LinkedIn, but there needs to be a content strategy behind it. So when it comes to posting in a particular group and adding value in that group, that's something that's important. Or showing up and adding my video to the LinkedIn feed, or just certain things of that nature, everyone has a certain job to do. And so I've utilized them, and that takes so much, it frees me up time where I can work on growing the business and not work in the business. And so, again, it all comes back to what is your objective? What are you trying to reach this quarter to? You know, you can't do it alone. You need to build a strong team. And even with those ladies, I'm to the point where, okay, I built them up to where if I want to bring in additional assistance under them, they would be able to teach anyone that I brought on because they're uplifted. They know exactly what to do. They communicate very well. And we all do this on Asana. So all their projects and everything is laid out, you know, very easy for them to understand what the project is, what the goal is, what's the deadline, and how they can, fulfill that project successfully.
Yeah, so they'll have a specific purpose. That
Absolutely.
Certainly makes delegation a little easier. Mm-hmm. You hit on something which I love because I just wrote this down. I do these hustle facts things every couple days. One of it is you can't do it all by yourself. I think that's what I put. You said
yes.
That, so nailed it. We're aligned there. Mm-hmm. What I love about that business model is that you've picked a industry or a service where you can literally go out and find clients in a public-facing way. And then so it can't be just Elle doing that work. In fact, it shouldn't be. You've hired a data scraper to scale that. And maybe as you scale, then you consider adding more people to be doing that type of work. And then automate, you said the A word earlier.
Yes.
And use some tools out there that can do some of that. So
yes.
I love that. I love that type of business model. It's mm-hmm. so hard. Like, I'm an IT consultant,
yes.
and so much of what I have to go find out, you can't find. You have to go in there and get that institutional knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. Some things we can pick up externally, but for the
yes.
most part, it's all internal in a dark data center somewhere. Mm. And so we have to extract that for
yes.
the most part from humans.
Yes, which can be a little difficult, but it's possible.
It is, and it just takes a lot of meetings and interaction mm-hmm. and building relationships like you talked about. But it's more tangible if you can build a case to why they need your services without mm-hmm. ever even having a meeting and bring that to them and say, here's
yes.
what's out there and here's
yes.
what we can do for you.
Absolutely. So, what's really worked for us, you know, from that standpoint is we're able to, I don't like to just pitch or sell my services off the bat. I mean, I'm extremely annoyed when someone, you know, they make a connection with me and immediately they're like, can we have a meeting and talk about A, B, D, and C? I'm like, well, I don't know who you are. and so a lot of what we do is not only do we make these connections, but we like to give them tips and value. So I may screenshot something that I find about your practice online and give you some suggestions. So you can do something about that immediately. You can get a quick win. So if you decide to reach out to me for more information or say, hey, oh, you know what? I don't have the time. Can we have a conversation about how your team can help us? Or we want to train our staff. We give you value. So I feel like that's something entrepreneurs who are new in the space, no matter what industry you're in, just share a suggestion, a tip. We're all solving problems. And so I feel like that has gotten me more buy-in than anything else that I've learned along the journey.
Yeah, I agree with earning that buy-in, demonstrate value.
Mm-hmm.
The one of the things that I've been doing, I've gotten away from it, I need to get back to it because it's just kind of fun. You get the people try to sell you on LinkedIn and then they keep going and you haven't responded,
yes.
and you keep going. So on Saturday, I'll take a screenshot of me saying some smart ass remark to but I mean, if you're, it's kind of harassment at that point, so I don't
mm-hmm.
feel bad in saying something kind of silly to
yes.
them and then screenshot it and post it on Instagram,
yes.
be like, what, like LinkedIn closes or something like that. But mm-hmm. But no, bring real value to the table.
Yes.
I can't agree more.
Absolutely.
Well, let's do this. I'd like to hear a little bit about some thought leadership, maybe some books or things that you've read mm-hmm. along your journey that's helped you that you might share with some of our guests.
Absolutely. I would love to. So because I am a healthcare professional, I didn't have any previous experience in sales and marketing. This is something that I have become a student of, and I still am a student. So a great book that I would recommend would be Jeb Blunt. It's called Objections. And I I'm a fan of Audible. So I'll listen to the book on Audible and then I'll go back and I'll purchase the book and I'll go back and take additional notes and read it again because I never want to read a book just one time. But that book really did help me understand the sales cycle, the process, and how I can overcome hearing no. It's something that I did not expect to hear. I thought everybody would just want the service, but what I found out is when you add value, they may not be ready today, but they may contact me 6 months or a year from now. And they're like, you know what, Elle, thank you for keeping me updated every single month. with this newsletter, I think I'm ready to move forward. So that book has really helped me get there, get my mind set together around dealing with no.
So Objection by Jeb Blunt.
Jeb Blunt.
Mm-hmm. A good recommendation. Yes. We have not had that on the show. Okay. I can't, everybody needs help or sharpening in sales and marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody.
Everybody.
So I'm glad you're humble enough to share that. Any other thoughts? How about apps? Do you use any apps to make your life
more
apps?
I'm a fan of apps. So the number one app I would suggest is Asana, which is a project management tool. I have it on my phone, have it on my MacBook, and I'm able to, I mean, I use it for my quarterly goals. I have the assistants and the subcontractors, they can find all of their projects, all of their tasks there. I do everything with Asana. It's a great communication tool. So when you have a team, opposed to getting emails from that team, all communication needs to be streamlined on Asana. And so that's a great one. I have another one, Zapier.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to automation, Zapier is hands down my number one suggestion. So we use many different platforms on a day-to-day, but you know, when I can combine everything on one single tool and it can automate those, you know, taking email information, putting it on a spreadsheet, well, I could have hired a VA to do that for me. However, Zapier allows you to utilize that tool to just do everything in one simple click. And so I did have someone, what I decided to do, Brian, is every single thing that I do, I told you I write those things down. And so I had someone come in and say, okay, these set strategies that you do, they could be one single Zap. And so a Zap was created, and it's an automation tool that's really saved me time and money. So the objectives or the tasks that I have my executive assistants do for me, those are tasks that automation tool cannot do. So it works.
Terrific.
Saves time.
Yeah. So Zapier, there's also Automate.io is a competitor, mm-hmm. which works fine as well. Zapier seems a little bit more robust, seems to have more platforms in it.
Yes.
And then Asana,
mm-hmm.
there's a few other, we use Teams for one of my organizations, which works really nice for Microsoft, but there's a number of platforms there. But it is important you have that collaborative tool,
mm-hmm.
To get it out of email.
And
there's just, and you can add in, to your point, whether it's through mm-hmm. Zapier or through apps, imagine through your app store. I've never used Asana, but you can actually bolt in
Asana.
Things.
Yeah. Yes.
That's perfect. Game changer. Well, listen, our hope was to inspire entrepreneurs, get them some ideas. I think we've accomplished that today. Is there anything else that you want to say to anybody who's either starting a business now or in it and struggling? Anything else that you want to close with?
Absolutely. I know that because I've been here. A lot of times we're scared to fail. And this is not my first business, okay? This is business number two. But this business has made me stronger because of my failure that occurred in business one. And I really hate to call it a failure. It was a learning lesson that I'm not afraid to say, Ryan. I was depressed for a long time. It took me a long time to get over the loss of money, the loss of time that I dedicated. That was my baby. It was my business. However, I came back stronger, more informed, more driven than I've ever been before. And so I would say, don't be afraid to fail. Fail many times and just know that you'll come back even bigger and better.
That's a really good message. And I was telling you before we came on last night, I did stand-up comedy.
Yes.
And that's one of those things you got to go do.
Mm-hmm.
Even like we were saying, you're like, I'm not that funny. I'm like, I ain't that funny either. I can't write. But you got to go up knowing you're going to bomb and fail. And it's just such a good exercise for somebody who does public speaking or is an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
Get those, fail fast is the term.
Yes.
Fail safe if you can.
Yes.
But it's more impactful if it's real stakes, like you mentioned earlier. So, but we're glad you found your footing. I really do admire your business model.
Thank you.
Admire you as a person. We obviously met through SBDC, the Small Business Development Center here in Houston. We both teach over there. We have a class coming up.
I know. Digital Marketing Bootcamp.
Yeah, Digital Marketing Bootcamp. The first one got rained out because of a pipe burst. But I think it's April 26th.
Okay, yes. Good. So get your ticket.
Yeah, so we'll both be there for that. But thanks again for joining.
Absolutely.
It's always a pleasure to spend time with you and learn from fellow successful entrepreneurs.
So. Absolutely. Well, thank you again for having me.
Yeah, thank you all for joining. Y'all go out there and close some business.
Central Texas rains, the strongest drink I've found.
Thank you for listening to Big Ideas Small Business. Follow us at BISB Media and visit our website at www.bisbmedia.com.